If you guys want to start turning to Matthew 28 this morning. So as we've kind of already talked about, it's a special day for those of us who follow the way of Jesus. We are celebrating Jesus' victory over the grave today. His demonstration that he had authority over every single thing in the universe, even over death itself. You see, Christ's power, we just sang about it here in this last song, it's not just in word alone, but in demonstration. That's exactly what he did. See, he endured the pain and the humiliation on the cross for us. Everything he didn't do any of it for himself. He's loving and caring, showing compassion to all. And he had eternity in the kingdom of God in mind. He did it for all of us. He did it for every person, not just the nation of Israel that was called by God's name, but he did it for every single person on the earth at that time and every single person on the earth today. He did it for you and me. God is a personal God. Matthew 28, starting right in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May God bless the reading of his word. I like to go through things verse by verse. Is that okay? All right, so let's look at that starting in verse 1 there. They said that the first day of the week began to dawn. It was just getting to be light out. He rose as it became a new day. The light was coming forth. There's something about light here. Let's look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. First thing God did was he created light. He didn't create the sun and the moon until the fourth day. But he created light on that first day. He spoke forth the light as he commanded. He divided that light from the darkness. Just as the sun came up, Jesus rose from the grave. He left the tomb. He was doing a new thing. Just as on the first day God brought forth the light and removed the darkness, Jesus rising from the grave, he removes the darkness wherever he is. There in verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." This is the second earthquake in a very short amount of time. There are times that you can't deny that it's God's timing and that God has his hand on it. See, the first earthquake that I'm talking about here was when Jesus was on the cross. Right after he let out with a shout that it is finished, he yielded up his spirit and died. Just as he did this, the earth quaked, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Read it for yourself. It's right there in Matthew 27, just one chapter prior. Earmark your Bible, read it tonight. The centurion and the other guards that were guarding Jesus' body on the cross, they looked at it and said, "There's no doubt that he was the Son of God." Roman soldiers, they knew. They saw that happen. They saw the timing. They knew there was no way it was anything other than what God ordained. You know that has to affect them for eternity too. That had to be in their mind long after Jesus gave up his spirit. You know, God was starting to draw them by his spirit as well. Here, though, we're talking about the second earthquake as the angel rolled the stone away. God was shaking the earth as he proclaimed victory over it. See, God seems to shake things in more ways than one. The book of Haggai in the Old Testament, Haggai 2 and verse 6, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and the earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." I fully believe that God is shaking our nation right now. See, when God shakes something, he shakes it so that only what is solid will remain. Tell you right now, Jesus Christ is a solid rock on which we stand. That cornerstone we just sang about. Haggai 2:9, "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." We did hear that today already. You think Holy Spirit was starting to tell us stuff even before got up here? I'm sure you've heard that our body is that temple. I seem to remember a country song telling me that as a kid. But Jesus proclaimed that he would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. In 3 days, we became God's dwelling place. It was no longer about the Holy of Holies in the temple. Verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men." See, the guards here were put in place because the religious leaders at the time, they were afraid that somebody would try to take Jesus' body, since Jesus had proclaimed that he was going to rise in 3 days. So they came to Pontius Pilate and asked the guards to guard him for at least those 3 days. The guards were there all night. They knew that no one had showed up to take the body. They knew that this angel was the one to roll the stone back, to break the seal on that tomb. And again here, we can see the imagery that God uses with the light. Now, most of the people who are regular attenders here already know this, so some of you may just be hearing this for the first time. I'm a nerd. No, for real. So one of the things that I actually understood and paid attention to in high school science class was about light. Here's the interesting thing about light. Light, pure light, contains every color. So when that light shines down, the color that we see is actually the color that's reflected back to you. So like on my tie here, the color that's reflected back is purple. So that's what we actually see with our eyes. So when you see white light, or when you see white, that means all of the colors are being reflected back to you. So with contrast, black, darkness, have no colors being reflected back. They absorb every color. I told you I was a nerd. So this angel and his countenance. Now, countenance, I admit I had to look it up. It's just a fancy word for facial expression. I'm not a nerd on words. I'm just a nerd on other stuff. Sometimes, though, I need it to be simplified for me. Amen? So his facial expressions were like lightning. And his garments were white as snow. He was reflecting every bit of light that the kingdom of God was using him for. All the guards could see was that light. They became like dead men. Now, it could be that they fainted, or they may have very well have ran away, which is, I think, is what the case was. But they were running away because they realized their mission had failed. See, Roman soldiers, they were enlisted to guard that tomb. The penalty for that would have been death for them. So they were like dead men. And you can read it later in Matthew 28. We're not going to go through the whole chapter today. But you can read it that those guards, they did not go back to their commanders. They went to the religious leaders to ask for favor with them. So that was the guards' reaction. But the women stuck around to hear what the angel had to say. So listen to this. Because you know this is the greatest thing of all this morning. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." They came for weeping and mourning, but the angel was there for joy and triumph. The angel comforts them with a familiar phrase from Scripture, "Do not be afraid." God tells us that many times. See, despite what we see in the natural, God comforts us with those words. They were seeking Jesus. When we seek Jesus, there is no reason to be afraid. This resurrection is where Jesus conquered the grave. You know, it's something that gives us great encouragement. They were seeking someone who had a shameful, disgraceful death. Crucifixions, part of the horrible thing with the crucifixion is the shame that it had. Your death is on display for everybody to see. You could see him from far away. That was our sin on the cross with Jesus there. The angel tells them that Jesus isn't there. You know, if you're seeking someone, the last thing you want to hear is, nope, he's not here. But then the angel adds this, he is risen. He did not remain flesh here on earth. He rose to glory. That is where our hope is as well. He is risen. Our hope is in Jesus, who rose and demonstrated his power over everything on this earth, including death and the grave. God uses angels to confirm his word, so this is nothing new. You see, angels appeared to Mary and Joseph both, telling them of God's plan to bring Jesus on the earth here. Angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields when Jesus was born, announcing his birth. Here, he's using an angel again to proclaim Jesus' resurrection. This turned the women's outlook completely around. And that's exactly what God does with his resurrection power. It is the good news that he has risen. Jesus promised them that he would rise on the third day. A promise is only as good as the person giving it. Jesus can be trusted because his promises are always true. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. As he said, Jesus certainly did say that he would rise. Matthew 12:40, if you're taking notes. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be in 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 16:21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Matthew 20:18-19. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and to crucify. And the third day, he will rise again. You can trust Jesus. Not only did he tell us that he would conquer the grave, he actually did it. He's faithful to answer all his promises. He is God. He cannot lie. I love the way the angel puts it in verse 6 here. He is not here, for he is written, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see the place where the Lord lay. This is the same way that Jesus invites us to join him. You can read it in John 1. When Jesus called his first two disciples, they asked him a question, and Jesus' response was, come and see. Come and see. It's an invitation. He didn't force them to follow him. He gave them an invitation saying, come and see. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in transformational power. Jesus was inviting them to a personal relationship with him. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, today could be the day you're introduced to him. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, ran to bring his disciples word. Just like then, The good news of Jesus rising from the grave is not meant to be kept for just ourselves. They're instructed to tell others. Notice that they were told that Jesus is going before them. Just like we covered a couple of weeks ago with shepherds going before their flock. Remember, Jesus goes before us. They didn't hesitate to go and tell the others. They went quickly. They didn't delay. They went immediately and went to tell the good news. This is part of the nature of the kingdom of God. What we receive is not just meant for ourselves, but it's meant to be shared. See, God's given us a chance to enjoy his company, but he wants us to give others that chance as well. God wants us to have peace and joy, but he wants us to share that with others. The world, they share frustration and grief. But Jesus, he gave us his peace. They were comforted with the news that Jesus has risen. It was time for them to go comfort others as well. They went with fear and great joy. In this case, fear is not being afraid. It's quite the opposite. It's they're going with great respect, great reverence, serving with gladness. The fear of the Lord is realizing the perfectness of God. It's recognizing that he is holy. Great joy is what followed them. They were so joyful to go tell the others. There was tremendous hope in it. They were getting excited. They didn't just walk. They didn't just go at a brisk pace. They were to go quickly. So they ran. Verse 9 here. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by his feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." As they ran. They had faith that he had risen, even though they did not see it for themselves yet. Let me say that again. They had faith that he had risen, even though they didn't see it for themselves yet. They believed and they acted on it. They were merely carrying out what they were told to do. And then Jesus did more than they expected, I think. Because I'm willing to bet as they were running, the last thing they thought was, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we see Jesus on the way back? Maybe he stopped off on the road here on our way. No. I don't think they were expecting it at all. They thought they were just going back to tell the disciples. But they were operating out of faith. Remember, faith is the evidence, or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. They hoped for it to be true, but they had not seen it yet with their natural eyes. Maybe that's where you are today. You have hope that this is really true, but you haven't had a touch from Jesus yet. I'll pray with you in a few minutes here. God loves surprises. He loves to give out the suddenlies. When we think we know what's going on, God just blows us away. He surprises us out of nowhere. We get to the point where we recognize that on our own strength or our own power, it's not going to get us very far at all. We can rely on him, though, and that's when the breakthrough happens. We think we're just running back to town, and Jesus stops us and tells us, rejoice. Today is not a day about baked hams and Easter eggs. It's a day of rejoicing that he is risen. So easy to get caught up in what's going on without pausing, giving that selah, that pause and meditating on it, that Jesus has risen. This time again, Jesus comforts the women himself, telling them, do not be afraid. They were to comfort others also when they tell him of Jesus' news and how he plans to appear to the other disciples as well. Jesus came to earth for a purpose. It was a way to reconcile mankind back to God. A way for us to be able to have a relationship and spend time with God. A way to be in right standing. We received his righteousness, his right standing with God. And we can have the opportunity to spend eternity with God instead of being separated from him. Jesus came to deliver us from our sin. He came to take our sin. Sin is simply anything that separates us from God. Whether you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, we know that there are things that we've done in our past that we should not have done. But Jesus came to remove all that from us. To remove the guilt of our past and let us stand blameless before God. And because of that, we have the ability to stand before God one day. When the accuser tries to tell of all the bad things that we've done, all the things that should separate us from eternity from God. But if we've repented and accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus will stand in the place for us and say, as he lists out all the things that we've done, Jesus will say, yep, but that's all covered under my blood. I've already taken the fall for that. That went on the cross with me. It got buried with me, but it did not rise. That person is now blameless before God. And there is nothing the enemy can say to change that. Jesus rose from the grave, showing that even death cannot hold him down, and that we too can be raised to life with him. Now, this life is not just eternal life in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven. This life is for us here and now as well. Jesus conquered death so that we can live victoriously today. Does that mean that things will always go our way, that nothing will ever go wrong? No. In fact, quite the opposite. The Bible says that we will have hard times. But here's one of the greatest things of all that Jesus did. Because he died and rose again for us, he is right there with us when we're going through it. At any point, we can call out to him, and he is faithful to answer us. He will give us peace in our time of need. He will give us strength in our time of need. He will give us joy and peace, no matter what we're going through. And he has that desire to be personal with each and every one of us. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He is risen. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. If you've done stuff in your past and you want to be blameless before God, if that's you, go ahead and slip up your hand. If you're going through stuff now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior yet, raise your hand today. He'd like you to know how personal of a God he is. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, but for whatever reason you wandered away from a relationship with him, go ahead and slip up that hand. Well, Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for forgiving us for what we've done in the past, Lord. Lord, we ask for mercy on that. Lord, we ask for your grace. Lord, we receive that because you are faithful to give it, Lord. God, we thank you for taking our sins on the cross. Lord, we give it all over to you, Jesus. Lord, lead us as we go through life. Show us the way. You said that you will go before us, and we look forward to that, God. Make the path straight. Allow us to recognize what you are doing. Lord, we pray for the ability to live victoriously, God, for us to recognize the victory we have over the enemy. Lord, we thank you for having that victory over the grave, for revealing yourself to us, God. Lord, we rejoice in that good news. Lord, we proclaim that good news that you have for us, God. We thank you so much, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for commissioning us to take it to those around us, God, that you do not comfort us just to be comforted, but you comfort us so that we can comfort others as well, God. Lord, we thank you for counting us faithful to be used by you, Lord. Lord, we pray for hearts to be turned towards you. We pray for all hurt to be gone. Lord, past hurts that only you know about that we may be holding on to, God, we give those over to you. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, let us proclaim your resurrection today as we go forth. Lord, you're putting us with family and those that we love. Lord, help us proclaim your kingdom in all that we do. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great to see you guys all this morning. If you guys need prayer, we're here. Otherwise, greet each other on the way out, and we will see.